Psalm 102. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you.
Good morning. Today's message is going to be a little bit different than what you've experienced over the past few months if you've been with us. Typically what we do here is we like to go through series. We like to go through books of the Bible, which we just finished one last week, our study through Colossians. Or we like to also alternate and do some topical studies, kind of look big picture, what does the Bible have to say, such is the case in 2 weeks when we begin our Race and Redemption series. Now, from time to time, every once in a while, in between series, we'll address a standalone message and just kind of do something that stands all on its own. And I do love these because there's a lot of different possibilities that you can talk about. The challenge is also the same, and that is there is a lot of content in the Bible. Like, so what should we, there's a lot of good stuff. By the way, you should read it. I always tell you that. You should, there's lots of good stuff in here. But what do you talk about? And so it's easy when you're in a series, like, okay, I left off here. I'm going to go there this week. And yet, as I began to pray and talk to God, it became clear that what I should share is something that he has been bringing me through this year in 2014. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning are some lessons that I've been learning about change, and we're going to kind of take some of the thoughts from Psalm 102, which Jaleith read. But in many ways, this is going to be the most personal message that I've shared this year. The reason for that is not only am I going to share some personal details of my own life, I'm also going to share some of the challenges that I've faced in the middle of change, and also some of the lessons that I've learned about how to navigate through change this year. Now, this message that you're hearing today is something that started with a devotion at our staff meeting a few weeks ago. We all kind of take turns sharing what God is doing in our lives, and we share that with one another. And so I presented that there. But since that time, these thoughts have been percolating on my mind, just kind of spinning around a little bit. And I gained, I think, a little bit more clarity. and a little bit more hope regarding these things. And I'm excited to share these things with you this morning as we talk about change. Now, for some of you, this is very timely, because there's a lot of change that you're facing, and you're facing the challenge of change, and this is going to be hopefully something that is super helpful to you. For some of you, you may feel like, man, just things are pretty even flow right now, and this is not relevant, it's not pertinent, and to be honest, it doesn't sound all that interesting. For you, and what I would say is, tuck it away, because I promise you, change will come to your life. And I promise you, sometimes that change will be difficult. But for those of you that aren't fully convinced, like, yeah, I don't know, let me go ahead and get to the punchline right now. Let me go straight to the most important thing, the most important concept we're going to talk about today. And then so even if you like fall asleep right now, you'll have the benefit of this. And here's big picture what I want to communicate today, and that we're going to spend some time unpacking. It's this: it's that you are changing, but God is not. Maybe wondering, well, how in the world does that help me? If you're wondering that, then pay attention, because we're going to talk about that. So as we consider Psalm 102, let's talk about three things together that are helpful and essential for us as we face the challenge of change. As I said, first of all, let's look at that first challenge. The first thing that we need to do is understand the difficulty of change. That's one of the things we need to do. See, 2014 has been an incredibly difficult period of change. Now, sometimes change is very exciting. I mean, we live in an exciting world of change. To think that I could take out my phone, and if I had Verizon or another carrier that had coverage in here, I could call anybody on video phone and talk to them face to face. Now, when I was a kid, that only happened on the Jetsons. Like, that was something that we looked forward to. And it's exciting that that is now here. By the way, I'm still waiting for them to invent the thing on the wall where you punch in what you want to eat and poof, it pops out of the wall. That will be cool. But nonetheless, change is good, and I love change, but sometimes change is difficult, and I can prove it to you. You know how I know change is difficult? I watch what you post every time Facebook changes something. Right? They change the feed, and it's like Armageddon. I mean, like, that's it. That's the last straw. It's too much. They've gone too far this time. And everyone, half of you is like, I'm going to delete my account, and you never do. But, you know, there's like this turmoil, because all of a sudden we've been thrust into the uncertain and the unknown, and we're freaking out about it. We change a lot of things here at Calvary. We mix it up. We call it experiments from time to time. Sometimes change sticks. And I remember when we went from the live to the video announcements, it was like, I don't know, can you do that? Is that in the Bible? And so it was a little uncomfortable. Announcements aren't in the Bible, so there's a few things we take some liberties with. But, change can be uncomfortable. And here's what I know is, even in good change, change is uncomfortable. One of the reasons I love living in Connecticut is the change of seasons. I absolutely love that. See, when I lived in Florida, that never happened. The only thing that changed was the degree of heat intensity. And so that would periodically change. I've got some friends visiting from Florida today, and you know that that's true. And so welcome to New England. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. But when it comes to weather, I love the seasonal change. But even as the seasons change, and even though there's something wonderful in every season, there's difficulties in every season. For example, today's the last day of summer. So tomorrow, fall officially begins. Who's excited for fall? Some of you aren't. Some of you are like my wife. Well, I like fall, but that means winter's next, and so you're a little apprehensive. But I love fall. It's one of my favorite seasons. You know what's difficult about the fall? The leaves. They keep coming and coming and coming. And after you get all the leaves picked up, you know what happens? Your neighbor that doesn't pick up his leaves regularly, the wind blows and blows all his leaves into your yard. Right? Lesson learned, pick up your leaves, so let's just all work together. But fall can be challenging. Winter. Now, some of you, for you, that whole season is challenging. To me, I love winter, but you know the difficult thing is doing what we do every single Sunday, being in a portable church. A bad winter storm can make it to where we can't get enough volunteers, can't get enough people here, and so we have to cancel service. And so I hate every week this. We're like in the situation room as the staff. All right, Doppler, how are things going? It's just kind of like mayday, mayday, storm's coming. And we're figuring out, are we going to be able to have a service from week to week? Spring. Now, some of you are saying, how in the world can you find something difficult in spring? One word, allergies. When it comes to the summer, humidity, right? So there's good in every single season, and yet there are difficulties and challenges in every single season. And while change is often good, it often comes with high levels of challenge. And for me this year, that was definitely the case. There was a lot of difficulty because there was a lot of change. Some of it was really good, but some of it was actually real challenging. And I want to share just a little bit of that with you, just to kind of share that, you know, I'm not immune to this stuff, just like no one else here is. And I'm not going to share all the change I went through, but I want to share some of the examples of change that hit and put me in a bit of a funk this year, actually. One of those changes happened with two very close personal relationships separately that kind of began to go weird and strange in a different way that felt strained. And now we are working through those things, and I think we're kind of coming out the other side of those things. But if you've ever been in the midst of someone that you're very close to, and I'm sure you have, and all of a sudden things get different, they change, they get difficult, it's an incredibly draining period. And that was something that changed for me this year, relationships that have been around for many, many years. Now, another big change, like a bombshell that hit, came in April when it became known, and a good friend called to tell me that my former pastor, lead pastor at Calvary Chapel, had fallen to a very public affair. And you have to understand that this is a person that God used mightily in my life and someone that I looked up to, one of the kind of inspirations to go into ministry, and all of a sudden he's brought down his moral missteps and had an affair. And the thing is, when you have a church like he did of 20,000 people, it just doesn't stay all over. So, like, I'm trying to process this, and it's on Good Morning America. You can't, you know, it's on Huffington Post, CNN, it's on, like, AOL. Everywhere you look, you see the story plastered all over the place. And it was incredibly difficult because there's something uniquely challenging about watching your heroes fall. There's something tough when you look up to somebody and see that they have feet of clay just like the rest of us. And so for me, you know, when you go through something like this, maybe you've experienced this, it's kind of like the stages of grief. There's the shock, there's the anger, there's kind of some of the bargaining, there's the, you know, depression, eventually the acceptance. For me, it put me into like a period of a mild depression that lasted for months. And so that was a challenge for me. I guess the best way to describe it is if you have had your adult parents get divorced. You see, there's something that happens in there. Even though you're not living with them anymore, there's a stability to be found knowing that even though they're there and you're here, at any time you can go back, visit your roots, and kind of connect with everybody, and that there's a familiarity there. And yet, when this happened, it's just like that no longer is available. That's no longer around. Nothing will ever be the same. And so another change that was challenging for us, but at the same time we're processing that, we started processing how are we going to educate our kids? You see, we were on a path that for us was super clear. We thought that started with kindergarten, we thought would go all the way through high school graduation, but as we began to process some things, we began to sense there might be a need for change, and this led to tons of prayer, tons of conversation, tons of counsel, tons of searching and seeking, and it's an important decision to us, so it weighed on us heavily, and eventually we made a complete change from where we were or we thought we were going to be going. And while that ended up good, as you know, as you agonize over some of these change things, and then you wonder on the back end, how's that going to turn out? That was stressful for us. And here's an interesting thing that happened that affects everybody here. Everybody moved. So, like, we've had about 100 people over the past year at Calvary Fellowship all of a sudden get a promotion at work, get a transfer, and all of a sudden we saw all these people move. By the way, that's the new policy is we don't pray for your job requests anymore. You're on your own. I am kidding. Of course, we're happy for every person that prospers, happy, and we blessed every person that left. But you got to know there's a challenge when people you've invested in, done life with, they've invested in here, move on. It's a little bit of turmoil. It's a lot of change. And it's, you know, leaves all kinds of leadership spots that we're like, okay, God, how are you going to fill this? How are you going to do this, something here? And, you know, that's just some of the personal stuff. That's not all the personal stuff, by the way, but that's just some of the personal stuff that's affected me. I haven't even gotten into all the social changes, the cultural changes, the political changes that we all kind of deal with as our world is spinning. It seems so fast and crazy to process all of these. And here's what I know is I went through some of my personal changes. Some of you are thinking, is that all you got? Because I've been through some real change this year. And what I want to say to you is I've been through a much worse change than these things too. But for me, it wasn't the degree of change. It was the volume. Because again, I only shared selective pieces with you. But at some point, you begin to feel the strain when so many things begin to change. You see, I feel like a guy that Rebecca, I don't know why I remembered this, but it was probably happened 14 years ago. But I felt like this guy and this memory that's just stuck with me. We were, Rebecca and I, my wife, were having lunch and we were going through the deli line. And there was a guy making the sandwiches. And the woman in front of us complained to the cashier. She's like, you know what? He put mayonnaise on my sandwich. And I told him, no mayonnaise on my sandwich. And so apparently the cashier was the daughter of the man making the sandwich. And she said, Dad, she didn't want mayonnaise on the sandwich. And the guy turned ashen white. He stops, puts down his thing, whatever he's making. He puts his hands in the air. He says, it's too much. And she says, Dad, it's not too much to make the right sandwich. But you know what I've learned? Is sometimes it's too much to make the right sandwich. All this change and all these variables and everything that changes. I resonated with that guy and I felt like him this year. It's too much. And sometimes we can feel like that and we can understand how the psalmist felt in Psalm 102 because his situation had changed. And so going from a place of peace and familiarity, all of a sudden he finds himself where his enemies want to kill him. It says, we read, he feels weak and that his life is slipping away. He says his days are consumed like smoke. His bones burned like a hearth. His heart is stricken and withered like grass. He's a hurting unit. And I can relate to just feeling just kind of the funk of all these things. Because sometimes if you don't realize how much is changing around you, you don't realize the toll it's taking on you. And if you don't realize how difficult change can be at times, even if it's a good thing, it still usually involves a level of difficulty. And if you're not aware of that, you can be freaking out and not even know necessarily why you're freaking out and not be ready to face the challenge of change. Because listen, even in the midst of everything changing, as we're trying to get our bearings, we're trying to find our new north, you know what happens? A new change comes. And then another change comes. You stabilize a little bit, and then another change comes, and then another one. And you can think for a little while, I can do this, I can handle this, I can keep up, I'm type A, I'm reading self-help books, you know, I like Jim Collins, he can help me get, John Maxwell, I can get through all these things. But at some point, you can just find yourself, it's too much. And each change on its own might be okay. But you know what happens as it piles up over time? There's a cumulative effect. And we just find that it's difficult. Like the psalmist, like me, and like the guy at the sandwich shop. It's too much. And so what we have to understand is that change can be incredibly difficult. And that's one thing that's important for us to recognize when it comes to facing the challenge of change. But also, that's just a starting point. We need to also next accept the necessity of change. You see, if we fail to see and understand the necessity of change, then we might fight it, we might resist it, and even have some unhealthy and destructive responses to it. You know what movie I love? Gran Torino. Now, stay with me for a moment. A lot of people miss the point about this movie. It's not about an old racist guy that says crude things. Although he does do that stuff. And you see, what it's about is about a man who watches his neighborhood and the entire world changing around him. And it's uncomfortable for him to watch his neighbors change, his neighborhood, culture, technology, everything change. And he has a hard time adapting to change. And so the car, the Gran Torino, for him represents a time in the past. A comfortable time, a familiar time, a simpler time, and a time where he understood things. It's a place that he would love to go back to. But you know, in life, there's no going back. And so eventually he has to accept the necessity of change to adapt and move forward. And I got to tell you, I don't always want to admit it, but sometimes I feel like him. I'm like on the porch of life, shotgun in hand, and telling the whole world to get off my lawn. Because it's just too much and it's changing too much. Now, I don't use the same language and profanity and hopefully try to be a little more gracious, right? But sometimes I get what he's feeling, that it's difficult to go through this process of change. But like Clint, I've got to push past that to see and to understand the bigger picture and accept the necessity of change. But think about this, that picture that he has, the Gran Torino, his image of the safe and familiar. If change had never happened, then he wouldn't have that image, right? It would be like a horse and buggy, because things had to change to get to the mechanical age and get to that place where that was created. And in the same way, if I simply cling to a snapshot frozen in a moment of time, then I fail to realize that without change, that moment that I look back to would have never been something that we went forward to. And so what we have to understand is that change is essential. As comfortable as the familiar is, everything must change, because everything in our world is not yet as it should be. And the only way to get it in the right direction, to get it in God's direction, is for change to happen. It's the only thing that will bring us that desired future reality, even as we sometimes struggle to cling to the past. Now, the psalmist gets that in the middle of his suffering. You see, he pours his heart out emotionally, and this guy is just completely wrecked. But in the midst of this, in the midst of all the change, he sees the hope of a glorious future. You see, he looks past his circumstances. You know, he kind of, the book ends. He has a struggle in the beginning, has a struggle in the end. But in the middle of it, and sometimes in the middle of all this, we need to lift up our eyes and see the bigger picture of what's going on. And so he sees this bigger vision than his own life of what God is doing. Most scholars place Psalm 102 written around sometime around the end of the Babylonian captivity. And if you remember, God's people, the nation of Israel, had been invaded, just destroyed, devastated, and they'd been captured, and many of them taken back to the nation of Babylon, where they were assimilated into the culture, into the pagan gods and all these beliefs. And so it was a radical change that had taken place. And yet as time went on, they began, instead of kind of to hold their roots, they began to sense, okay, that this is the new normal. And they got comfortable. And they got familiar in this strange place. They found a groove, and they kind of learned how to flourish in this foreign system. But the psalmist remembers a bigger vision than surviving off of the scraps of the pagans. He says, God, you're going to rebuild my country. And not only that, every king will bow down before you. And the kingdom of God will come into full manifestation. Our groanings will end. The dead will be restored and raised to life. Praise to God will come pouring out from every people group all over the earth, Israel and all the nations. And there's something really cool written in the middle of this psalm. Let's reread Psalm 102, verse 18, one verse. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. A people yet to be created will praise the Lord. You see, at the time, the psalmist was wrestling through this change in what we now call the Old Testament period, a period that God centered his work around a nation, the nation of Israel. But what God is saying here and what the psalmist is saying here is that things were going to change. A new people would be created who would give praise to God, a people that aren't yet there, and they're not going to replace Israel, but they would be the new center for God's work in humanity. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus came and he cast a compelling vision of what life could be like with God, about the kingdom of God as it manifests. And Jesus, in fact, himself paid the price. He paid the entrance fee, the only way possible to get into this kingdom. He paid with his own blood, and then he began to declare what this kingdom would be like. In fact, this kingdom would no longer center on one nation,
But this kingdom would be comprised of people from all nations, people all over the earth. This new people are not just one people, but it is a multifaceted, multicultural, multicolored group of people from all the ends of the earth that would be God's ambassadors and God's representatives in this new kingdom. And so as people from all over the earth, every tribe, every tongue, every nation are represented in this kingdom, it was a bold declaration to the entire world that you are welcome. You are invited into what God is doing. You see, it doesn't matter your ethnicity, doesn't matter your race, gender, class, none of these things, that everybody who wants to be in this kingdom is invited into this kingdom, and Jesus went through great lengths to make all of that possible. And this body that God would create, this people group, would be called Christ's body. It would be called the ecclesia. It would be called, as we like to say, the church. And you see, this church is not just the local church like we have here, but it's the big C universal church, the body of believers all over the world. And so if you and I were to look at history and we were looking at a map of it, we would have a dot right here that says, you are here. We are in the age of the church, and it is a great and glorious time where God is working powerfully. But this has to change too. This isn't going to last forever either, because God's kingdom will eventually be fully manifest when Christ comes back. And it will be a glorious change, but like all change, there are difficulties involved. If you haven't read the book of Revelation lately, you can read about some of those difficulties, as well as more about the compelling great vision. But you see, as you look at all of these, big, wholesale, radical change was coming from the time the psalmist wrote this, and even from the time that he projected forward to now, we project even forward to the future, and change is going to happen. And these are good changes, these are glorious changes, but once again, it is not without its difficulty. You see, the Jewish people in the early church period, though the early church was comprised initially of all Jewish people, and then it spread out and became diverse, not all Jewish people could go along with this. They couldn't all accept the change, that the nation wasn't the center anymore. And there were a lot of things that were difficult to accept and hard to embrace. And so it was a challenge, as change can be. But it was necessary. The change was necessary for better things that God wanted to do. And you see, change is so often difficult for them, for you, and for me, because change bumps up against the familiar, the comfortable, and the routine. And we come to value those things. But if we're not careful, those things can become idols in our lives. We just hang on to those things. And look, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I can tend to gravitate towards the comfortable, the familiar, and the routine. But once again, once those things become more important than what God might want to do, He'll rattle our cages sometimes, and we can freak out. Now, the psalmist, as he's in his freak-out period, listen to some of the imagery he describes. I mean, as you consider what he was saying, listen, pelicans don't live in the wilderness. Owls aren't found in the desert. Sparrows don't dwell alone. And so what's the psalmist saying when he's painting all this interesting imagery? Basically, he's saying, nothing in my life is as it should be right now. Maybe some of you can relate to that. But God is shaking things up. God says, I am doing a new thing. And to get to a new thing, you have to shake up, you have to take off, you have to discard what is old to get to the other side of change. And maybe some of you need to also hear this today. Good things are on the other side of change. God is doing a new thing. And so, as I shared with you some of the difficult changes today, I want to encourage you by hopefully just sharing some of the positive changes that I've experienced. Because, you know, 2014 was turbulent and some bad changes, also or difficult changes at least. It was also really full of good changes. See, one of the changes that I experienced is that my mother and stepfather moved to town. Man, that's an awesome change. You know how it was just so difficult initially. I loved being here, but one of the challenges was not having family in town. And so for us, this year was amazing. We celebrated the first Christmas together in a decade. We celebrated the first birthdays. There were a lot of firsts this year, and it's great to have parents in town, grandparents for the kids. babysitters, thank you guys so much. There's a lot of good things that have come with having family in town. Another good thing that happened this year is Pastor Luis joined our staff. And that's a great thing. We now have an administrative pastor to help with the load of this growing church. And I know he's already been a blessing to many of you, and we're thankful to have him here. Speaking of church, as we've said goodbye to so many people this year, we've said hello to just about as many new people. And it's been exciting to get to know all you guys. It's been exciting to see that you guys are the next torch carriers for the next wave of whatever God is doing. You bring new energy, new ideas, new things to the table. And it's been exciting to meet so many of you. One of the things that's been new for me, that's been so helpful for me, and especially in all these other things, has been a mentor. As we started last year, the Discipleship Challenge, I personally took it seriously and got a mentor to speak into my life, and that's made all the difference in the world, having someone that can coach me along. Also, one of the big changes back to our church that happened this year is Calvary Fellowship has officially joined Converge. And so we are now part of a network of churches that are diverse in many ways, but are partnered together to bring the gospel to as many people as possible. And so in the announcements, when we mentioned the night of prayer, I'm leading that with two other churches. We're kind of pairing together. Those are all Converge churches, but also inviting tons of people that are just from all different churches. I would encourage you to be there, because God is doing a great new thing. But what I want you to also remember is that all these good changes had to first have some difficult change happen first. You know, Mom and Richard had to sell their house. People keep telling them, what are you doing coming from Georgia to Connecticut? You're going the wrong way for retirement. Right? You're supposed to be going further and further south. And hey, you know what? Guess what God calls us to do. Luis, moving from Denver to Hartford. It's not without difficulty to move your entire family, find new jobs, find new house, and do all those things. And all the changes we mentioned, a lot of people that have come and found it. Maybe you've moved to the area because you got promoted. Congratulations, by the way. We're excited for you, and we'll continue to pray for you to be blessed. But nonetheless, you're here, and I know it's hard for you because you've left some familiar environments. You've left a church you love and a church family you love. But we pray that you will see on the other side of change good things too. Because as many of you, and I know your prayer requests, and I know you've had some really hard change this year, I pray that as you look, you'll also find some really good things have happened this year as well. Now, to face the challenge of change, we need to understand the difficulty. We need to accept the necessity of change. But one more thing we need to do, and this is the most important thing of all of them, and that is to embrace the agent of change. See, the prescript of Psalm 102 says this: a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. So what a great thing to do when we are overwhelmed is to take our attention and turn it to God in prayer. Now, one of the things he observes about God towards the end of this passage, actually at the very end, I'm going to reread three verses. He says this: they will perish. They is all the things, God's creation that he made. He says, these things will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, but you are the same. And your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. They, again, is everything that God created. And he's saying, the psalmist is saying, like all these things, the world, people, all these things are going to change. But you, God, are not going to change. You are the same. And you see, he says, our descendants, our future, all these things are found in you, this change agent that doesn't change. And one of the things that I know I look for, and most of us look for, when it seems like everything's spinning out of control, when changing is happening so fast we can't keep up with, we just look for some form of stability, something that's stable, something that's hanging in there. But what we experience is we realize that peace is never to be found by trying to control all the change that's going on in your life. Because what happens when you try to control things? You come to realize how little control you really have in this life. And so instead of trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube of change, the best thing that we can do is embrace the agent of change. And you see, God is a change agent. He causes change in all of our surroundings. He causes changes in our circumstances and changes in our lives. And we want to embrace the change God is doing. We don't want to become resistant to that change. You see, our mission as a church is all in that change, revolutionizing lives through the revelation of God. Revolutionizing lives. That means we want to see transformation. We want to see change. But let me ask you this. When's the last time you saw a comfortable, pain-free revolution? Right? They're generally a little bit difficult in all stages and all, you know, elements and all eras. And so change is difficult and we can't do it on our own. Yet as we trust the agent of change, that is the revelation of God, he does it. And you see, our mission as a church comes from Scripture. As you go through Scripture, it teaches all about broken mankind and a divine healer who comes down to make a difference and reaches into our brokenness and changes that and brings wholeness and brings healing. And so, despite all the change that you may be going through, the difficult, the good, the bad, and all of that, we can find comfort in the God who does not actually change. As Scripture said, they will be changed, but you are the same. You do not change. Or as I said in the beginning, you are changing, but God is not. Your circumstances are changing, but God is not. God does not need to change because you don't need to change perfection. And so one of the most important things we can do is we want to embrace God and grow in a relationship with God is get to know him. Just like any relationship, a dating relationship, a friendship relationship, you to grow closer to someone, you need to get to know them. And they need to get to know you. And one of the ways we get to know God is as we spend time with him, learn about his characteristics. And the Bible has a lot of great things to say about God. And as we learn about God, one of the theological characteristics we learn about is the immutability of God. What that simply means, a 50-cent theological word, that means God does not change. It means the God who changes everything himself does not change. And by the way, this is not just true. We don't just see that in Psalm 102, which, by the way, that portion is requoted in Hebrews talking about God's nature. We see that throughout Scripture. Let's read just a couple of verses. We see it in Malachi 3:6. It says, "For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Next. You see, in James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And again, in Hebrews, we see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Great, you might say. Immutability. So what? Guys, it is important, it is urgent, it is extremely necessary that we understand this. It's a big deal because the psalmist says about generations going forward that we will be established in God. Now, the root word of established is stability. So in the challenge, in the turmoil, in the difficulty, in sometimes the despair of change, we understand that the place we find God is not in unchanging circumstances, but in an unchanging God. And so what we need to do is hold on loosely to the familiar. And at the same time, hang on tightly to the change agent, because that's the only safe place. That's the one thing that doesn't change. It's the place of stability. You see, our plans change all the time, don't they? But you know, God's plans don't change. Isn't that wonderful that God doesn't change his mind? Like, you know what? This whole heaven and redemption thing, it's just too much. It's a lot of work. I could just be resting and hanging out in a perfect place, let these guys figure it out all on their own. But thank God he doesn't change his plans. He doesn't change his love for us. You know, we change our affections all the time based on people's performance, behaviors, and how well they uphold certain things. God loves us despite all of that. That's a wonderful thing. God's character doesn't change. People change all the time. But God doesn't. God's values don't change. You see, it's really hard to navigate through a world that is constantly evolving in cultural issues and moral issues. And even from the time that I've been born to now, I've just seen great wholesale transformation, some good, not some not so good. But I think our danger is when we try to take God and fit him into the current mores of society and whatever culture says is right. Because guess what? Culture's going to, you blink and they're going to change their mind again. And this is right is wrong, wrong is right, this and that. And so what we have to understand is actually helpful. We shouldn't try to change God to fit with the times and rewrite scripture to make it look like he's acceptable. What we should do is accept that God doesn't change. And you know what? If sometimes he flies in the face of things, that's okay. Maybe those things should be challenged. Maybe those things should be changed. But God is someone that we can count on. He is our hero who never falls. He is our hope who never changes. He's the agent of change who himself never changes because God does not change, even though we do. And I know that change is difficult, but it is also essential. Think about this. Without change, without difficult change, the Big C Church would have never been born. Without difficult change, this church locally would have never been born. Without some difficult change, our country wouldn't exist, our future wouldn't be established, and we would not have even been born. And so change is essential. Now, as a guy who will freely admit to you that I resist change, in fact, especially when it comes to music, man, I love all the music they made in the 70s and the 80s. They just don't make music like they used to. You know, give me that old-time rock and roll. You know, like, I know I'm such an old man about these things. It's just, like, kind of stuck in that period. And so it's a big deal for me when, like, my whole summer soundtrack this year was Imagine Dragons. And so for me, that's been something that I really, really enjoyed. Now, you say, oh, you're about a year or so late to that. Doing the best I can, right? That's like trying to change kind of a thing. So for me, that was as good as it could get. And then this fall already, the new U2 album shaping up to be my favorite soundtrack. And so it's like going through some changes here, right? New music. Uh-oh, the world's going nuts. But you know that the soundtrack to my life this past year has been a single song, and it's a song we sing right here at Calvary. It's Oceans. And it's the reason it's resonated with me so much is because it's been really all about what I'm going through, and it's so much about this change agent and how he meets us in the storms of life and how everything's raging around us in the storms, the waves, as they crash in these uncharted seas of life, that we have a guide. We have a God who finds us there, and this God does not change. And as these difficult seas, he knows every one of them, and so he can grab us, guide us, guard us, protect us, and then take us to new places that we never could have, never would have ventured into on our own. We never would have attempted to do any of these things. And we have this great God. And so in a moment, we're all going to sing that together. But my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we would also live this together, that we would trust God in that way. Guys, I feel like I'm finally beginning to come out of this funk that change has put me through. You know, I think that's happened is kind of as I've embraced some of these things and kind of understood where how change has been more difficult than I want to imagine. I tend to stuff a lot of things and think I can handle it, but I had to realize this was a little difficult and then accept that, look, things change, seasons change, and I had to embrace that and trust that God was bringing change on the good change on the other side of these things. And also, more than anything, had to just hang on and embrace the agent of change who doesn't change and find stability, hope, and peace inside of him. And you know what? Again, I think I'm coming out of it. I think I might possibly be able to make the right sandwich now. You know, it's like it's maybe not too much at this moment in time. But here's my prayer for you: as I realize all these things and I've embraced that, I'm changing, but God is not. I pray the same thing for you. You see, it may feel like life is moving so fast and spinning out of your control. And what I will say is, it's true. Life is moving fast, and it's always been out of your control. But it's not out of the control of the God who doesn't change. And so instead of freaking out, you can keep your head in check, you can keep your hope intact simply by turning to the agent of change, embracing him and letting him establish you, because you are changing, but God's not. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we are thankful that we can lean to you in the good times, the bad times, the changing times. And I just pray that
your Spirit would powerfully move in hearts and minds today. And as we process things going on in our lives and things going on in our world, I pray, just even as the psalmist just kind of shared his inner journey and I've shared some of mine today, more importantly, that your Spirit would speak to each of us and move where we are and help us to understand what we need to understand. Help us place our hope in you and find our trust in you and our stability in you. God, I pray for each person here that we would find ourselves established, not in our circumstances, not in what we can cobble together, but in the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. And I want to say something for those of you that are here today and maybe you're not yet a follower of Christ. I can assure you that despite all change and everything that's going on, the greatest change that happened was the day that I believed and followed and chose to follow Jesus, because that was a day that things began to change and move forward in a positive direction. And as I've shared, it's not all perfect. It's not all a bed of roses or walk in the park, but life with Jesus, life with this guide who can take us through the changing times and doesn't change, someone we can count on, makes all the difference. And as I said, Jesus paid the price, the admission to heaven with his own blood. That was what the cross was all about. And then he was resurrected 3 days later, showing his power over the grave and pointing to us to say, in the same way I died for you so that your sins and guilt could be removed, and the same way that I was risen from the dead, I will bring new life to all of you. Here and now, as you follow me, but also in the future age, you will live forever. Ever in eternity with me. Now what happens, the way that we access that is we put our faith in Jesus. We believe him and we follow him. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that now. I want to offer you a simple prayer. And as an act of faith, as a point of contact for that faith, you can simply pray this prayer to God and he will hear you wherever you are. So church, if you would join me in prayer. And for those of you that would like to say that prayer, you can simply repeat after me in your heart now. God will hear you and God will meet you where you're at. Say, dear God, thank you for caring enough for me to come down to this planet to send Jesus to die for me that I might live. I pray that you would help me to follow Jesus today and forevermore. The biggest change in my life is the one I want to make today. I give you my heart. I put my hand in yours. Lead me wherever you will. Guide me wherever you lead. And help me to find my hope and trust in Jesus from this day forever. In your name we pray. Amen.